put the oversight committee in place and come back to council. But we would still just, like to see.
We would just.
I would still like to see your answer to the question.
Yeah, we will get provide that. We would just like to see the process work its way through before the plan is adopted.
So just both of those questions answer in one very succinct message. I'd appreciate it a lot.
And just to be really clear, I'm interested in getting the plan passed with the to-do items because this plan has stretched on for years. And it's not to say that the plan cannot be continued to perfect. We will need to continue to perfect it. But part of the certainty that we need to get to is to begin to make some decisions, even if they're provisional, even if they're not finalized until the end of the calendar year. That's where I'm at. Sir?
Thank you, Mayor Adams, Commissioners. On behalf of the Board of Directors of the Freshwater Trust, thank you for the opportunity to comment today on the plan, the river plan. My name is Alan Horton. I'm the Managing Director of the Freshwater Trust in Portland, Oregon, representing about 2,500 members in the city and about 4,000 members statewide. The Freshwater Trust is a 27-year-old conservation organization that implements river and stream restoration projects all around the state of Oregon. The plan, what we recognize in the plan is that it recognizes that the river is both an economic and ecological resource, and that a healthy working riverfront is essential not just for aquatic and other species, but also for the long-term livability and viability of our city. Conservation groups, industry, and agencies all support that basic position. There is, in fact, at least in our view, enormous overlap in the objectives of industry, conservation, and the city. That said, the river plan, especially with the mayor's proposed amendments, allows us time to figure out many of the details at the heart of remaining industry conservation disagreements. The successful modeling and implementation of a Northeast Mitigation Bank, for example, offers the potential to streamline many aspects of review while providing the certainty around inputs and outcomes desired by both industry and conservation. In conclusion, the Freshwater Trust recommends passage of the river plan, including the mayor's proposed amendments, which allow for the time and process to resolve key details on mitigation banking and other plan elements. We need to move past some of the historic defaults and not allow them to harden into bulwark against needed progress on this plan. The devil will certainly be in the details here, but recognition of our large mutual interest and a measure of trust running in all directions will go a long way. We have an opportunity to blaze a better path forward that assures economic and ecological balance for the river, and let's not waste it. And Mayor, if I could have just 15 more seconds,
What would you like to say in 15 seconds?
On the counting on the environment piece, which Commissioner Saltzman mentioned earlier, only because we had a hand in writing them. The staff is quite right in that those were developed. We're fans of them. We've applied them ourselves upstream in the Willamette on some projects. They were also applied this last fall in the Tualatin. But they are limited to some fairly narrow streams. There's some potential for them, we think, on larger streams and even in potentially main stem of the Willamette River. And there's some benefits to them from a scientific perspective because they use some of the most recent rigor around evaluating impacts and ecological uplift. And transaction costs for them could potentially be smaller than HEAHEP. So, but we also recognize that the city's open to that. At least that's our understanding from staff, is that they're open to looking at that as an alternative to HEAHEP or how it might even work in cooperation with HEAHEP, which we're totally supportive of.
Right, and what we're trying to sort of get out of is this catch-22 where industry says we're asking for a lot of additional work. So we figure out a way to get maximum value for the kinds of evaluative work they're likely to have to do anyway, and then we get criticized for the proposal that it's never been used before, even though the very essence of our effort is to maximize value. But you are absolutely right. HEPHEA, we're open to other approaches as well, and your approach has worked amazingly well in other areas, and we feel that there's promise to expand it to this setting. Sir.
Thank you. I'm Kurt Schneider, Secretary for NP Greenway. And thank you for this opportunity, and thank you for the support of the trail that you've given and the adoption and the bicycle master plan. Quickly, last time I was here, I mentioned the concern of the trail in a mitigation area. I want to thank you very much for the language that you have included on pages 32 and 33. Just have one caveat on that, and that is that's in the plan. I have not seen any corresponding language that might be in the code. I think maybe a direction where we can get some feeling on that is in your certification process. And then secondly, on your, is it called NORAC? We would love to be a participant in that should you find us suitable to be on that. thank you very much and adopt the plan so we can get the trail constructed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, gentlemen, very much. How many more people do we have?
About 25, if they're still here.
Okay, how many people have had are speaking for an organization or firm that has already had a representative speak? Okay. Mary, you've signed up, so why don't you come up? Who are the next two?
Eric Stromquist, Corky Collier.
And you are required by city code to identify yourself if you're a lobbyist or representative of another entity. Mary, we'll begin with you.
Okay. I'm Mary Vogel from Plan Green, a woman business enterprise consulting firm based in downtown Portland that helps sustainability leaders in business and government put ecosystem services into their land development plans in order to achieve prosperity. I will skip over the fact that we were rated 10th by Forbes magazine in as 10th most toxic city and how that's not good for business either, to remind businesses here tonight that economic efficiency is also big and that Portland had design and construction cost savings of 20 to 63% in the design of its green streets over the conventional way of doing storm sewers. And the Toyota plant found that a very unintended consequence to its restoration in that it helped retain employees and increase worker productivity because the mother mallard who adopted their landscape in front of the factory became the mascot for the employees, and they loved to go watch her bring her young ducklings up the riverbank every day. So this really helped with worker productivity, which is one of the most important parts of or one of the biggest expenses in industry is retaining employees. So I just want to say to the Working Harbor businesses that they should see the river plan as part of their path towards driving the new, more resource-efficient economy.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you. Sir?
Thank you very much. I'm not a lobbyist, but I could be. Mayor and commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Eric Stromquist, and I'm vice president of CTL. We're a 20-year-old computer and electronics firm located in industrial Northwest Portland. CTL employs approximately 40 people and contributes $30 million of revenue to our $6 billion of electronics industry here in Oregon. We're a member of NENA, and we support the Working Waterfront Coalition. We're not on the waterfront, so you could say that we're not directly impacted by the river plan. However, we imported over 100 containers of electronics last year through the Port of Portland. And if the Port of Portland's concerned and the longshoremen are concerned, then we are as well. I'm also concerned for my industrial neighbors like Gunderson and Snitzer Steel. I'm afraid that the proposed permit process required for waterfront-based companies to invest, expand, and create new jobs will be more complex, not less. Particularly during this economic downturn, more process is not helpful. Mayor and commissioners, the United States needs to return to a country that makes things again. Our neighbors in Northwest Portland have a long history of doing just that, and I don't want to see this jeopardized. It's through this manufacturing process that we create wealth. This wealth returns to the community in the form of better schools, well-funded governments, and jobs for our citizens. Please give careful consideration to the River Plan so that objectives for environmental improvements and job growth can be created on our waterfront. Thank you very much.
We are. Corky.
Corky Collier with the Columbia Corridor Association. You've heard a chorus of we can do this, but we're not quite there yet. As we move forward, I ask you to really focus on economic development. I know that sounds weird in an environmental plan, but a good example is the Harbor Ready Project, which I think most of you are familiar with. It's an attempt to put jobs back on cleaned up brownfields. Two basic goals. One is to increase city tax revenue. The other is to get those brownfields cleaned up. Over a year ago, Congressman Blumenauer spoke of his disappointment that none of those Harbor brownfields had been cleaned up since he sat in those chairs. His message was that sometimes we have to compromise our highest environmental goals in order to achieve the most environmental success. So it's really simple as we move forward. The more you increase economic development, the more you're going to get environmental improvements through the river plan. So I ask you to create fee formulas that reflect this, adjust them over time to achieve it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, are there folks, of the 20-some folks that are yet to testify, is there an argument we haven't heard yet? Okay, why don't you come forward, the two of you over there.
Mayor, I'll give my minute to my co-chair, so she has 2 minutes.
No, you can't do that. I wish. Otherwise, I'd have 10 people sign up and give 10 minutes to one person. So you have to come up, Jan, or Christy will come up. Go ahead, sir.
My name is George Webb, and I'm president of Harmer Steel Products in Linton. We're a railroad supplier that's been in Linton since the 1940s. We're growing, and we're concerned about the trail designations in Linton. The current amended plan removes the Front Avenue branch, but leaves the most problematic branches of the trail. The Northwest 107th Street branch of the trail cuts across private property that we use as a storage yard and rail cutting area. Such a trail would eliminate an important work and storage area and make it difficult for us or impossible to expand our operations southward. The Top of Bank branch of the trail would be completely on our property and directly abut our yard. This trail presents significant liability and safety concerns for us. Even without a trail, we've already had trespassers building illegal and dangerous fires on the beach, which threaten the trees and shrubs growing on the riverbank. This area has been identified as a potential restoration site by the city and the Natural Resource Trustees, and the presence of a trail in this area would be in conflict with this use. Our property is one of the few in the Portland Harbor with beach and natural vegetation, and as such could be very important as a restoration site. This in and of itself would be reason enough to eliminate the Top of the Bank trail. I hope you will consider amending the river plan to address these issues. Our first choice would be to leave the trail completely up on St. Helens Road and eliminate all three trail branches surrounding our property. If that's not possible, we could live with the Front Avenue loop, but we would propose that the Top of Bank branch and the private property extension of the 107th Front Trail branch be eliminated. We believe it is particularly important that the trail does not go beyond Front Avenue towards the river. Perhaps sometime in the future, there will be an opportunity for the community to get a trail with access to the river on the Linton Plywood site, but until this property is sold and its specific uses are identified, it is premature and unfair to designate specific trail locations. Thank you.
So we did make some of the changes you asked for.
Yes, but you left the one that we...
I understand from your testimony. I just wanted you to acknowledge we made some of the changes you asked for. Hi.
Hi. My name is Doris Weller, and I was going to talk about emergency preparedness, that it has a place on the North Reach plan, that it's not included at all. But after listening to the commentaries, I want to change that. But I have distributed my comments on paper. I'm concerned that many of the labor and industry advocates are so tunnel visioned that they can't see that having a healthy river, a healthy climate will attract businesses to a clean, green city and will be a benefit rather than a detriment to creating jobs. With the Willamette River being the second most contaminated river in the United States, obviously something needs to change because business as usual has not worked so far. So I applaud the city's attempt to set up some kind of a system to monitor the continuing pollution. The current businesses have contributed or created and profited from the river's degradation, and they need to step up to improve it. One of my other concerns is that any mitigation that should take place on the Willamette River and in the North Reach and not some other place in the city.
Thank you very much. Ms. White?
Hi, I am Christy White, representing the University of Portland. I'll try to keep it to a minute, but that'll be hard. I'm here to request an amendment to a small section of an environmental overlay zone that was imposed on the University of campus through the river plan. This particular section of the bluff is located more than 800 feet from the river and is not some of the river environmental overlay zone that was imposed on the river, which we don't object to. You have a memo there I just draw particular attention to you to exhibits 1 and 2. Exhibit 1 shows the zoning on the campus pre-river plan. Exhibit 2 shows post-river plan. You'll see there that there's a new 200 to 300 foot wide corridor of EC and EP zoning running through the campus. Along the bluff, dividing the bluff campus from the river campus. I want to be clear that the university does not object to the imposition of environmental zoning on the property and doesn't object to the river environmental zone that was placed along the Greenway. What we do instead object to is a small section of the zoning, which you've heard discussed here before with questions from Commissioner Fish to Bob Selinger, regarding this small section of EC zoning where there was an EP zone. We very much appreciate the work of staff and the mayor to alter that to an EC zone, but would like the city to consider removing that zone altogether. There's three quick reasons I'd like to give you for this. One is Exhibit 3 shows you the conceptual master plan for the University of Portland that formed the basis of both the EPA remediation efforts that are going on for the River Campus, formed the basis for a rezoning of the property in 2008, which the city approved.
Christy, excuse me a sec.
Yeah.
Could you tell us the three reasons why you think that support your position?
Yes, I can tell you the three reasons that support my position.
A little extra time.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. The three reasons that support our position are that you'll see the Exhibit 3, the conceptual master plan, and that master plan shows you a building, and that building is at the intersection of Portsmouth and McCosh. That building is the gateway building that was part of the conceptual master planning, forming the basis not only for the acquisition of this site, but also for the EPA remediation effort and the rezoning of this property in 2008, the property on the river, to allow the university as a permitted use. It is a critical building operationally, visually, and functionally to connect upper campus with lower campus, and was a fundamental premise in proceeding with the acquisition and the remediation. Under the river plan, this is now covered with an EC zone if we follow the mayor's amendment. And what we're asking you to consider is removing even the EC zone for a second reason, and that is I've shown you a picture of that property. That property is not rich with resource, as indicated by the picture. It is supposed to be supportive of an oak woodland. It's also environmental values have everything to do with preserving a wildlife corridor and for slope stability. The University of Portland is interested in preserving all of those values. What we'd like to be able to do is preserve those values through the rationale in our third reason, which is we're not asking you to be exempt from review. If we remove the EC zone from this property, then we will be left, unlike many users along the river, with a Type 3 conditional use requirement. We are not permitted as a university to proceed with redevelopment of the river campus until we go through a Type 3 conditional use review. That is a very rigorous review, and the University of Portland is on the record for being willing to entertain mitigation proposals and propose mitigation for a building footprint in that location. So it is not correct to say that we would like to avoid mitigation or avoid a discussion of environmental impacts. We are very open to that. We think there's a couple of tools available in the zoning code to do that. One of the tools that's particular to us, because we are a conditional use master plan institution in this zone, is a conditional use master plan, and we'd be happy to entertain that discussion during those conditional use master plan proceedings.
Can I help cut to the chase here a little bit,
please,
and just ask you, what about the EC zoning causes you to think you can't construct the building?
Yeah, thanks for that question. Under the EC zoning, you are required to do an alternatives analysis, and you're required to demonstrate that there's no other practicable alternative for the building footprint. Because we're such a large campus, we believe it will be difficult for us to demonstrate that there's nowhere else to build this building. Under the river plan, the difficulty for us is the purpose of this building is a gateway building connecting to the two campuses. But now we have a 200 to 300 foot wide corridor that cuts through the entire gateway. And we need to build within that gateway, and we need certainty as an institution that we're able to do that.
But doesn't that answer the question as to whether or not there's another place to put the building, if that's what you're characterizing?
It doesn't give the amount of certainty. We'll be going through a Type 3 process. There'll be appellants to that process. There'll be a hearings officer.
But you're proposing a Type 3.
Yes, we'll be going through a Type 3 conditional use where alternative site locations are not required to be demonstrated. Although what we're saying is, we're trying to be candid and upfront and telling the city, we've long held that this is where a building needs to be located. We want to locate it there. We don't want to have to go through an alternatives analysis.
Are there other conditions of an EC zoning besides the alternative location of the building that you're concerned with?
No.
Are there other conditions of EC zoning that would apply to the site that a Type 3 review would not require?
Well, they're different reviews, so there are different standards in an environmental review than a conditional use review.
If we had a proposal, a discussion amongst ourselves that gave the university some assurance in a EC zoning that you could build a building, but you would comply with all the other standards required in an EC zone, you'd be okay with that?
Yes.
Okay.
And I would be interested to know what you think in the conditional use approval criteria would apply to that, because I disagree with the characterization of what an EC zone does. To me, it's minimize and mitigate rather than mm-hmm. having to avoid. So what you'd have to demonstrate is that the proposed building footprint and location minimized and mitigated rather than it completely avoided impacts.
I would agree with that, except for I think as a premise in any EC application I've ever processed through the City of Portland, I'm required to show you alternative footprints that either avoid or minimize the environmental impact. And what I'm suggesting is we have a whole corridor here, and we can't avoid the EC or EP zone in a gateway location.
You also have a whole campus, too. So I think
that's the problem.
There would be some value in continuing to do that. And then the mayor has made the amendment to take it from EP, where you wouldn't have been allowed
to
develop, to a minimizing.
That's right. And we very much appreciate that movement.
So another item to follow up on. Thank you all very much for your testimony. Anyone else who has something to say that we have not heard? Come on up. Pat, come on up. Oh, there are two Pats, so Pat Wagner, come on up. I appreciate you all waiting. As it gets really late, though, we're trying to find a way to winnow things out a little bit. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Good evening, Mayor Adams and Commissioners. My name is Mike Neal. I am the legislative representative for the Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers and Trainmen Division 416. I represent over 90 engineers and conductors working on the Portland and Western Railroad. The Astoria District of our railroad runs through the Linton community, serving local industries and providing a connection to the rest of our system southward through the Willamette Valley. Because of the time restraints here, I'm going to limit my comments to the trail. In regards to the Greenway Trail, with the proposed additional crossings of the railroad at grade and close proximity to both the railroad and our freight customers, if built, this trail would bring a variety of new people in interface with the railroad. Joggers, rollerbladers, skateboarders, and bicyclists could all be on the trail, and many of them will be using iPods or other personal music devices. These folks will be focused on their exercise and entertainment, not on the train coming down the tracks. I've witnessed far too many cases of people wearing iPods or headphones walking right out in front of my train, even though I'm blowing the whistle and ringing the bell. Others try and hurry to beat the train to the crossing and can trip and fall right in front of the train. Please remember that trains don't have a steering wheel, so the engineer can't swerve to avoid somebody. The Linton area contains heavy industry, and many of our customers ship hazardous materials. If our engineers are forced to put their train into emergency braking to try and avoid hitting somebody at a trail crossing, it increases the likelihood of causing a derailment, which in turn greatly increases the risk of hazardous material spill in this community.
I need you to wrap up, sir.
Okay. One other item I'd like to point out is, in addition to having a trail run through the backyards of businesses and a security concern, and exposes both industry and the railroad to vandalism while also providing another access point for terrorists, we are under the jurisdiction of the Transportation Security Administration in the Linton area, and our workers must have TWIC identification to work in such close proximity to port facilities. The Linton area is included as part of a high urban threat area, so providing the public with additional access.
I need you to wrap up, sir.
Okay.
And you can give us your testimony. We'll read it.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much. I encourage you to continue working with the Portland Western Railroad to solve concerns about safety and security along the Greenway Trail.
Thank you very much. Ms. Wagner?
Can I defer to him for just a second?
Him?
Him is Rob Mathers from Kinder Morgan Energy Partners. Thank you for your time and efforts in all of this. We own two petroleum terminals in the North Reach and two pipelines in the Portland and Northwest Oregon area, also bulk facilities, et cetera. We converted our pipeline from Portland to Eugene to a B2 biodiesel. That's the only diesel product we handle as of last October. And we've invested about $30 million in improvements in fuel handling and asset integrity in these facilities in the last several years. Just wanted to let you know that the cost, complexity, and conflict that we still see. We're concerned that it would lead to disinvestment in the harbor and thereby not achieve that environmental uplift that we all are trying to support. Specifically, we have one area of concern right near the tanker basin in Wilbridge, where there's a restoration site at the outfall of Saltzman Creek that could impact our operations down the line. So just wanted to put that in front of you.
But we did remove the trail you asked for.
Indeed. Thank you very much.
Good and Lord.
If I could put the testimony.
We just lost Dan's vote.
Yeah, I just lost Dan's vote.
It was the Saltzman Trail, wasn't it?
It was the Saltzman Trail. You snooze, you lose. That was Ms. Wagner.
Okay. I remember River Renaissance. I remember how exciting it was. I remember how beautiful it was. You asked a question. You said, why in 20 years has nothing ever worked? I got it figured out. Because there's a conflict of interest in the Bureau of Planning. Mm. In order for people to keep their jobs, they have to have work. In order to do work, plan, there has to be plans. Plans have to fail. And that's what's happening. Mm. And the other thing is, as far as the Working Waterfront Coalition and all of these people, they're like ants. They're going to keep coming and coming and coming, and you will have to listen until eternity is gone. Mike Houck, Val Salinger, all of them will be gone. I'll be gone, and they'll still be coming. In part, there are exaggerations, misstatements, and I don't even want to go there, but, you know, I've just about had it. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. Appreciate it. Anyone else? Come on forward. Anyone else who wants to say something that hasn't been said thus far? Hi.
Hi. I'm Pam Arden. I'm part of the 40 Mile Loop Land Trust and the North Portland Greenway Group, and I want to thank you for putting the trail in, and I'm seconding what Kurt Schrader had said earlier about the concerns we have with the mitigation stuff. And I just wanted to say that the explanation that I heard from city planning that answered all of the questions that were put to you sound very reasonable to me, and I'd like to just say, please get on with it. We've gone through this for a long time. We could tweak this forever. Please get through it, and thanks for the staff for doing all that work on answering all those questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben. Hi.
Good evening. Krista Cole with the Port of Portland, and I will be really brief because I know that we've been here a long time this evening. I just want to make a quick comment about the cleanup changes that were made on Friday, and I very much appreciate the opportunity to talk about this, and I also very much appreciate Mayor Adams addressing it at the beginning of the session. We do see a significant substantive difference in terms of what was in the code before, and in fact, it relates to a point that we've had conversations about last year and the year before. So we would just like an opportunity to work with the city attorney on that. And the big difference is that now it applies to federal cleanups, and that is a huge, significant, substantive difference. Thank you.
Thanks for pointing that out. We have more work to do there. Hello, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of council. I'm Phil Grillo, and I'm a member of the Working Waterfront Coalition. I'm not testifying here on behalf of any clients. I don't represent the WWC. At the December 16th forum, I submitted a letter explaining why I believe that the success of River Plan is really dependent upon the success of the Working Waterfront. And I urged you in that letter to consider the solutions proposed by the WWC in their November 30th letter. As you know, since that time, several other things have occurred. First, the WWC focused its concerns on about 8 major issues. We've seen some responses to that. Frankly, I have not had a chance to review them in depth. We have talked about them some today, and we don't believe that, for the most part, those really respond directly to most of our concerns. Now, I know that's not what you want to hear, and I can only tell you that I've had roughly about 2 hours to look at them. The reason for that is because I had some surgery over the weekend, and so I didn't spend, normally as I would, my weekend reading things. I was recuperating. Be that as it may, we've also submitted very, very specific proposed amendments to the code, and we haven't received responses on those specific code amendments, the most recent package that we've done. I want to just leave you with really a thought, and maybe this is another way to reframe what you've already heard here today. And that is that I think it's very important going forward.
You need to wrap up, Phil.
I will. Is that to look at this in terms of economic momentum. If the code amendments that you're proposing to adopt really create economic momentum, then that's a good thing. But we believe that what's going to happen is if you adopt the code amendments before they're finished, that you're going to create negative economic momentum moving forward. And so that's what we want to do.
We've heard that concern before, Phil.
And that's
we're at the time of the evening where it's new thoughts. So anybody else, thank you.
You bet.
New thoughts, new concerns, new ideas.
How about just ending on a happy note?
That'd be nice.
Go ahead, Greg.
Thanks. I'm Greg Tyson with the Port of Portland. I've been working on the river plan with Sally and company for at least 5 years. And Sam, you mentioned earlier some of the port's efforts on the waterfront under the Willamette Greenway Plan. So I'd like to suggest that the Willamette Greenway Plan has been successful for the Port of Portland, at least, and for the City of Portland in terms of the over 3 miles of bank that we've planted and the over 40 acres of vegetation that has been added to the North Reach. Additionally, we have built the Willamette Greenway Trail on our property under the Broadway Bridge on the Swan Island waterfront and along the slough. We've also taken steps to control, manage, and prevent stormwater runoff from all of our facilities in the North Reach. The port's contribution toward improving water quality and habitat have helped result in, according to the Bureau of Environmental Services MS4 annual report, water quality in the North Reach that has trended upward over the last 12 years. That's something we should all be proud of, and that's coming out of some of your bureaus. Also, the city's Portland Plan background report on watershed health states that overall water quality in the Willamette River has improved considerably since citizens successfully lobbied for water quality regulations in the 1930s.
So I need you to wrap up.
And we have seen significant improvement in the Columbia Slough and Willamette River. So congratulations to all of us.
So, Greg, when you provided this information in our earlier meetings, you and I both know that folks on the environmental side climbed all over you for pointing out where you were legally required to do a whole bunch of stuff, and some are the results of lawsuits. So the port has been a good player. There's no question about it. Others would argue about whether it's because of the Greenway Trail. And water quality improvements, among other things, in all fairness to the facts, $1.3 billion are being spent by city ratepayers to help clean that up.
Absolutely. And, I don't disagree with any of those.
Thank you for your testimony. All right. We are at the conclusion of public testimony, and I'll take the pulse of council. As we have done in the past, we would get out a draft set of questions and issues to follow up on to council and then have you edit them. But if people have stuff they just want to offer tonight, that staff is ready to take note. Do you want to start, Commissioner Leonard?
So I would just on the issue of the UAP, I would be very interested in us pursuing an amendment to the EC zone that was proposed that it didn't sound like there was any disagreement on, that the university be given assurance that it can have the site that it's identified for whatever that building is, but that they comply with all other criteria in the EC zone.
And this isn't the council's only opportunity to ask for follow-up, but...
But also, I think what would be most helpful for me is to try to get some closure on some of these points where it can only just be a lack of communication between our staff and some of these folks out here, or maybe these folks out here haven't been given the information in a timely fashion, but it seems like we're hearing a lot of testimony tonight that had already been addressed or resolved or somehow had been answered, and I don't know what that is, but it would be helpful for me to get a summation of points of disagreement.
Since August.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. We'll do that.
I am not as interested in looking at a variance of some kind from the environmental conservation zone on the University of Portland property. I think that the EC zone is actually quite permissive and does get us the best kind of development in sensitive areas. So I'd be interested in looking at what you bring back, Commissioner Leonard, but I'm not as interested in pursuing it myself. I want to first take the time to thank everybody for being here and thank you for staying so late. It shows that you care about our river, that you care about jobs and you care about the environment. And it doesn't have to be either jobs or environment. In fact, it cannot be either jobs or environment. We do better in Portland. And I think the point was well made that a healthy river is good for industry as well as good for the environment and good for citizens. And so this plan is going to do that. And I'm comfortable with the direction that the mayor has taken. And by the way, Mayor, totally appreciative of your involvement personally, many, many meetings, total awe of your grasp of the details down to what page it is and what particular amendment people are talking about. I mean, that's it's extremely impressive. And
did you hear Commissioner Fish there?
No, I'm ignoring Commissioner Fish.
I said I was also very admiring, and I wanted to add my voice to that. I might have also said it's a cry for help.
You'll have your turn. I appreciate it because the mayor is right. The details do matter. And to me, what's happening in this plan is that we should adopt this plan because a lot of the issues that have been brought up are the ones that staff has already identified that we need more work on. And that's why we're not going to actually implement the plan until the 1st of January 2011. We need to take 90% of the stuff off the table and say that most of it we do agree on. And that's what I heard tonight, is that most of it we do agree on. There were a few key points where we don't. Almost all of those are places where staff has said Office of Healthy Working Rivers is going to work on it, BPS is going to work on it, Development Services. There's a whole team of people who understand that these are very complex. So I want to go back to what Molly Jansky said at the very beginning, and that was that this plan is not perfect and we're going to need to compromise. And to me, some of the compromises, many of the compromises have already been made. The 2X process is the prime example that, frankly, I'm somewhat horrified that we're doing that, and yet it's a compromise. It's a plan that piece was put in to make it work better for businesses. So I want to recognize that both sides, all sides, there's not just two sides here, have worked very hard to get to where we are right now. I think it's a good start, and we should adopt something and then move forward into the implementation phase and the refinement phase. So in addition to thanking Mayor Adams, I do want to thank all of the staff in all the bureaus who have worked extremely hard on this, and also Ann Beyer, my new director of Healthy Working Rivers, and Patty Howard in my office, Tom Bizzo in my office. It has been a joint effort. I've been honored to help get to this point, and I'm anxious to move on and do even better.
Well, I just want to thank everybody for being here tonight. It shows how much people do care about our city and our river. And I think it's important that we do find the right balance between creating and retaining jobs and also protecting our environment for our children, like Molly Jansky. And I believe they can both be done here in Portland. I guess some of the concerns I just want to outline that I have and need more information on is, you know, first of all, how does the implementation of this plan sync up with the Portland Harbor Superfund program? We are holding off on a new regulatory regime. Should we be holding off on a new regulatory regime until the EPA has provided us with comments and guidance on the feasibility study of the harbor cleanup? So I ask that as an honest question. I'd like some answers or thoughts on that. Secondly, an important overarching objective of the plan is to fuel private investments through public investments in harbor infrastructure and land development. And I'd like to understand better where the resources for this infrastructure development will come from, because this is certainly going to be a key, I think, in retaining good, high-paying manufacturing jobs. So I want to know more about that. And then finally, as a strong proponent of the North Portland Greenway trail effort, I'll be listening to how these important transportation facilities will be sited in ecologically important properties, and I'm also equally concerned about their intersection with if there are going to be intersections with at-grade crossings for railroads, that would concern me greatly, and I guess I want to know more about that. But overall, this has been a great hearing.
Commissioner Fish?
This has been a fascinating hearing and very informative, and
My only regret is it's going to come to a closure so soon. But I want to say that what I have heard from everybody tonight is that regardless of where they fall in this debate, everyone who's come forward has said some variation on we support the goals, but there are some aspects of the details we still have some concerns about. And it is my rough guess that about half of those disagreements that still are out there have to do with the timing of the amendments and the chance to digest them and understand them and go through them. And I think there are some, there do appear to be some misunderstandings which can be resolved. And perhaps the other half may end up just being honest disagreements that we maybe will never resolve, but we can at least quantify. So for me, in terms of the comments that were made tonight where people expressed heartburn about some aspect, which in turn caused someone on industry to say this could prevent us from making an investment or could hurt jobs or whatever, I would like to at least have staff help me understand better the various claims that were raised about uncertainty and duplication. And uncertainty to me has to do both with the sort of quantifiable stuff, the measurements that we're putting in, as well as the timeline issues. And the timeline issues, the one part of the timeline issue that I still don't have a handle on is those aspects of the timeline that are outside of what you have to do within the clock and what people have through appellate rights, which could or could not, which may have an impact. And I, having gone through a process in the River District where people use LUBA to get endless delays in recent history, I'm just interested in knowing to what extent either a direct participant or a third party can use any of the appellate rights that are set forth in this plan to effectively undermine the stated goal of you folks, that, there, that this does bring some certainty to the process. So I'd like to know that better because I don't think I have enough of an understanding. And on the question of duplication, I mean, the mayor has patiently gone through some of those claims and pointed us to parts of the amendments that address it. I'm still interested in knowing what is a remaining and good faith argument about duplication, and is there a way that we can further streamline this to avoid that? This is very complicated, but what I am heartened by is that every time we've taken this up, we make some progress, and at least the issues in dispute are narrowed. And again, the strongest critics in this room have said they support the goals and have concerns about some of the details. So my understanding is the mayor has set a 4 or 5 week period for us to get further briefings, answers to questions, and a chance to have continuing dialogue with both sides, which I think is important. And I too appreciate the time and care people have taken tonight to bring their thoughts and their concerns on both sides. And I think it's given me some great confidence that when we do get to the point of making a judgment, whether you agree or disagree how each of us come down on any part of this, I think it'll be a relatively informed judgment. And so I appreciate all the testimony. And thank you, Mayor.
You betcha. Well, I want to thank staff for their continuing efforts, continuing work. Amy in my office, the team led by Susan and Sally and the whole group of folks, we will continue to work on it. So we close the hearing on 246 and 247, and we will reschedule after we work with our colleagues on council to identify the issues and further research required. And we now, if you
Mayor,
could...
Mayor Adams, in order to avoid having to send out new written mailed notice
we have to
of the
continue
next hearing,
it?
You need to continue it to a date and time.
So what's 4 weeks out, 5 weeks out?
I would say the 24th of March at 2.
Sounds good.
It's about 5 weeks.
Great. All right. Continued to 24th of March at 2 p.m. All right. Can you please read the title for resolution item number 248?
Accept Memorandum of Understanding between Siltronic and City of Portland.
So this particular issue is important, an issue that will... that we can't wait for the River Plan, Northreach River Plan, to be completed, I believe, to move on. This is a memorandum of understanding between the City of Portland and Siltronic, and it is a memorandum of understanding that provides for environmental protection and certainty that allows for the city and Siltronic to market some land. And did you already read the title? I'm tired. Could we, who would like to come forward from the city staff? Sally? I will tell council that I have personally been out on the site a number of times. Another cry for help, yes.
Sorry.
I care too much. Can you...
Hurry up and adjourn us.
I move to close the hearing.
Oh, yes, that's him.
Shall we proceed?
Yeah.
Okay. Good evening again. Thought I'd provide you with a little bit of background on this resolution. As you know, the city has developed the natural resource inventory for the Northreach and submitted that to the Planning Commission. And you have that as well. The natural resource inventory includes special habitat areas, which are unique habitats in the city that the other models that are used to develop the natural resource inventory do not adequately assess. So the draft inventory reflected the determination that there's a special habitat area on the undeveloped part of the Siltronic site, and that resulted in the application of an environmental and conservation overlay zone on that property. So as you can see on the map, there in the center of the square, there is a purple area and there's some yellow crosshatch, which is the river environmental, and some dark and light green, which is the environmental conservation zone. So the Siltronic company is one of the harbor-ready sites that you heard PDC talk about earlier this evening. The long-term goal of harbor-ready sites is to facilitate cleanup of contaminated sites and redevelop vacant and underutilized industrial land for new industrial uses in the working harbor, while ensuring that parties responsible for contamination remain responsible. Harbor Ready is in the process of developing processes and tools to restore several sites along the Willamette. In Siltronic's testimony to Planning Commission, they challenged the science behind the determination of the natural resource inventory and said it went against their perception of the agreement that the city entered into with Siltronic back in the 70s. They also said that they needed to have a development-ready site to be able to respond to redevelopment opportunities quickly and asked the Planning Commission to remove the new overlay zoning. The Planning Commission did not do that, but asked city staff to work to address conflicts between environmental and development issues on these harbor-ready sites. Siltronic's parent company in Germany had been looking for opportunities to expand in Portland when the market is right and wanted a site with development certainty to take advantage of this or other redevelopment opportunities. So after the hearing, city staff, Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and the mayor's office, PDC, and others got together and decided to explore a process with the Siltronic company where we entered into a mock environmental review process, and we also tested the HEPHEA model that you've been hearing about to see how that would work. And We met for a considerable amount of time. Again, the mayor's office, Commissioner Fritz's office, PDC, BPS, and the city attorney's office. And then several bureaus served as advisors that included BES, PBOT, and the Bureau of Development Services. So the result of that is a draft memorandum of understanding between the city, PDC, and Siltronic. And it essentially boils down to a trade-off that if Siltronic donates a conservation easement to the city in perpetuity, and that is a conservation easement that includes the Doan Creek corridor, some Willamette River frontage, and a creek outfall, then the city council would not apply conservation and river environmental overlay zone to the Siltronic property. And this image on the screen and in your packet shows a proposed conservation easement area and a proposed development area. The purple is the development area. So Portlanders could benefit from this because the city would have control of a key restoration site in perpetuity. The easement will protect in perpetuity one of the few remaining habitat corridors between Forest Park and the Willamette River. Doan Creek could be daylighted as a first step towards providing salmon with access to Forest Park. There are only a few streams that flow out of Forest Park that have enough flow to provide for salmon habitat. And the riverfront could be restored to provide additional habitat. A large industrial development, a large industrial site adjacent to one of Portland's key industries would have a higher level of development certainty. So this is the first of many steps that the city could take in this direction. If the city council approves the memorandum of understanding, the city would enter into negotiations with Siltronic to develop a development agreement consistent with the memorandum of understanding. And if a development agreement can be reached, then city council would hold a hearing to consider that draft development agreement. And if city council approves the development agreement, the city and Siltronic would sign the agreement and the city would not apply environmental overlay zoning to that property. We've established a deadline of July 1st for all of this to occur.
Next question?
Yes, sir.
So I appreciate bringing this MOU to us to consider with Siltronic, but is this MOU and the subsequent development agreement that would result from that contingent on the river plan being in place or a river plan ordinance being in place?
It does. No, it doesn't. Not before. This could move forward prior to implementation of the river plan.
And the reason for that.
Implementation meaning adoption? I mean, we're headed right now on a 4 to 5 week.
The development answer. The development agreement can be considered by City Council and approved or rejected prior to the implementation and completion of the river plan. This is separate. The discussions on this site with this company have been arguably predate, depending on where you decide the start of the river plan is, predate the work on the river plan.
So this is a standalone item with,
correct,
with respect to the river plan?
Correct. Yes. I think we were working on this when I first, when Vera was first sworn in. So it's an issue that we've sought resolution to for some time.
Mm-hmm. So when was this version of the MOU finalized and what has been the public process to review it?
It was finalized a week or so ago and filed with the council clerk. So there has not been public review of the MOU to date. That public review is beginning at this point in time.
So I am very uncomfortable at this late hour, given that a lot of folks had to leave before they could testify on this, moving forward with this today, because I don't have, although my staff was sitting in on many of the meetings, I don't know that I have all the final version. I'm not sure how, for instance, how wide is the conservation easement at its narrowest point, and what is the recommendation from natural resources folks about how wide it needs to be ecologically functional.
So I appreciate that. I would like those people that want to testify, including representatives of the company, and I think Bob wants to testify, if we could take that testimony and then decide whether to not do anything tonight or to do something tonight.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor, is there a particular reason why you want something tonight? Is there a timing issue here?
I would like to... they are aired out sort of because they're obviously related. I'm open to council's direction in terms of decision making, but if we could, because folks have waited, sure. Some folks have waited, okay. Just to get the testimony done, then we can decide whether to make decisions later.
All right.
Could we have representatives of the company come forward? Welcome back to the City Council.
Thank you. Members of the Council, Mr. Mayor, Tim Ramos for your record on behalf of Siltronic Corporation. With me today is Neil Nelson, the president of Siltronic Corporation. We are here to endorse the resolution and the principles in the MOU that's attached to it. And also we wish to thank the staff for the incredible number of hours that they've put in to working on this project with us. Because Oregon's land use planning goals require balance, that ultimately falls to you to strike the right balance between potentially conflicting interests. In the case of the Siltronic property, we've been working with technical staff of the city to try to come up with a recommendation that does strike that balance. As you've heard, this has been an ongoing conversation for a very long time. We viewed that process as a joint enterprise with the goal of finding a way to make environmental protection and economic development be complementary and be mutually supportive objectives. That's been the goal throughout. The MOU reflects the work that we've done to achieve those purposes, and while it has substantial limitations on development of the site for the company, we understand that because of the need to balance these interests, it's a good solution, and we recommend it. One important feature of the development agreement approach that I'll mention is that this approach provides a level of certainty for the public and for the company that's not otherwise provided. Specifically, once we execute a development agreement, the city will become the owner of a property interest in a very substantial and very valuable piece of land. And at that point, at your direction and on your timing, you can undertake the restoration of it. Without the development agreement, that's left to the vicissitudes of the planning, of the development process and those complications. And so with the certainty provided, we think it's a benefit both for the public and for the company. Thank you.
Anything you'd like to add?
Sure. Well, I'm Neil Nelson, President and CEO of Siltronic. We've been a solid corporate citizen for since 1978. And we're the largest high-tech employer in the city. And we have been a successful steward of that land. We bought the land from the city of Portland in 1978 with all of its troubles that came with it. But we have worked on that as we've gone along. We have been recognized by you, the city, your bureaus, the state, the governor, and the federal EPA for our environmental stewardship. So our silicon manufacturing facility is in the Willamette Industrial Urban Renewal Area. Our parent company bought this approximately 85 acres back in 1978. It was undeveloped. Since that time, we've invested about $600 million in plant and equipment and improvements. We have brought about 1,100 stable high-wage jobs to this city, and we pay a significant sum in income and real estate taxes every year. And Siltronic is committed to this city. Our 85-acre site has approximately 42 acres that remain undeveloped at this time. As you no doubt know, with the growth of our country's green economy, Oregon's energy incentive structure, and Portland's desire to be at the epicenter of that green economy, our site is on the international radar screen for the silicon wafer industry. Demand for silicon wafers is growing as we speak. Siltronic is pursuing international business opportunities in the silicon wafer industry, and our Portland site is one of the many possible sites. As these opportunities arise, the availability of undeveloped land at our Portland location plays a significant role in attracting investment and jobs to Portland. One hurdle we unfortunately must overcome is Portland's perceived reputation for taking too long to get a project from the